Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. Awesome weekend of sports. We got a lot to get into. We have one team already punched their ticket to the NBA Finals in the Boston Celtics. Dallas Mavericks look to do the same tonight. We'll break down that game four between Minnesota here in a little bit. Also talk NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Danny Kluppinger going to join me in about 5 minutes or so. Break down the French Open. It's a teed up Tuesday. The boys are out in Canada this week for the RBC Canadian Open. We'll give you your handicap for that. And then every team in Major League Baseball is in action today. And Angel Hernandez is no longer umpiring Major League Baseball. There's a lot to be excited about. We will get into that during Big Lead Peach. Kate Constable joins me for Model Making Money, and we wrap up the show with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have, let us know. Twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And as always, if you miss any part of the show, you can go check it out on the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session, and we are going to start with Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavs are 1.5-point favorites tonight, and the total is 210.5. We haven't seen each other. We haven't done the show since Game 1, right? Game 2 took place Friday night, and then Game 3 on Sunday. Really, the story of this series has just been Dallas's ability to win games in the clutch. If these games were 44 or 45 minutes, Minnesota would be up 2-1, maybe even 3-0 in this series. It's kind of funny to watch how the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals have kind of mirrored each other. The Pacers and the Wolves have put themselves in great spots, but when we talk about the old cliche of experience and how that matters and postseason pedigree and all this stuff, you are seeing it displayed in both of these conference finals with Dallas and Kyrie, and obviously winning a finals, been in ton of big games, Luka being as clutch as he is, being in the playoffs. Minnesota doesn't have that experience yet. And then on the other side, obviously with Indiana and Boston, I mean, the Pacers, they very easily could have been up 3-1 in that series. For them to get swept is pretty incredible. As for tonight's game, look, you guys know I've been on Minnesota all the way. I will die on that ship. I will ride them out one more time and go with the T-Wolves tonight at +105 to try and get a win. Don't feel great about it, but I'm going to go down with my guys. And look, obviously no team has ever come back from 0-3 in NBA history. But if you were to take a team to do it, you would want a team in Minnesota's spot, right? Where they get Game 5 and Game 7 at home. They're small underdogs tonight, and they'd be small underdogs in a potential Game 6. We saw Boston in the same scenario last year when they were down 0-3. They got that Game 5 and Game 7 at home. All they had to do was win Game 4, and then it put a little pressure on Miami, and they took that thing to distance. I don't think Minnesota's coming back in this series, and I certainly wouldn't bet them at 11-1. I would need much more value for them to make history to bet that. But who knows? Maybe this thing can get interesting. Some props that I like for tonight. Rudy Gobert under 11.5 points, I think, is a good bet. Minnesota went with that small ball lineup in Game 3 where they decided to play Kyle Anderson a lot. I think we see more of that. It helped them more on the offensive end. And defensively, Gobert's just not giving you what you need out of him in this series. So I'll take Rudy under 11.5 points. Keep taking Naz Reid over 1.5 three-pointers. He's been awesome shooting three in this series. I'll go Anthony Edwards over 2.5 three-pointers at plus 105 as well. Ant-Man has obviously been great in the first two series in the postseason. Hasn't been as good against Dallas. Was only shot 2 three-pointers in Game 3 in that game on Sunday night. Didn't make any. So I think he was more aggressive attacking the basket. I think we see that, but I think he takes a lot more three-pointers as well. So I'll take Anthony Edwards over 2.5 three-pointers at plus 105. And then in the NHL, we got the Rangers and the Panthers tonight, Game 4 of that series. The Rangers have won the last two, both in overtime. You look at the game that Florida won, and they were dominant. They shut out New York. They won 3-0. I still think they're the better team. This is the beauty of playoff hockey, though. Once you get it to overtime, anything can happen, and the series can flip on its head. But I think you're getting great value on Florida to win the series at plus 145. And I like them on the puck line tonight, minus 1.5 at plus 150. The Rangers were the first team this postseason to beat the Panthers in back-to-back playoff games. Florida's normally a really resilient team. I think we see them that tonight, so I'll take them on the puck line at plus 150. And then Stars and Oilers, they get Game 4 going tomorrow. Game 3, I decided not to bet. I thought whatever team won Game 3, I would back the other team in Game 4. It just feels like a series that's going 6 or 7 games, and I think they're probably going to alternate wins. So I like the Stars since the Stars won in Game 3, I'm probably going to ride with the Oilers here in Game 4, thinking that they can get the job done. Stars are minus 300 to win that series. The Oilers are plus 240. That might not be a bad play if you like the Oilers to come back and win this series, but this is what Dallas does. They drop Game 1. They've done it the previous two series, and then they come back and win the series. So I'm thinking that Dallas is going to get this thing done, but Edmonton at a plus 240 certainly could be a good price. All right, let's talk some tennis. We go to the Glasser guest line, and checking in is Danny Kluppinger. You can follow Danny on X at Danny Klupp and catch her on Live on the Line, Tennis Channel, and Bally Sports as well. Danny, always great having you join us during the majors, and the French Open is underway. Before we start getting into some of your picks or some of the players that you like on the men's and women's side in the futures, I want to talk to you about Nadal, because yesterday we had an awesome match with him and Zverev. That might have been the last time we see Nadal at the French Open. Do you think we'll be seeing him maybe at Wimbledon or in the U.S. Open, the next two majors upcoming? And do you think that there's a chance maybe we see him at Roland Garros next year too?
I do think we're going to see him at the majors that are coming up here. I actually think it was quite interesting to see where his mindset was at when he was talking about potentially coming back for the French Open again next year. What a special moment. Also, kudos to Sasha Zverev after that match and winning. He gave one quick answer and then said, you know what, this isn't my moment. This is Rafa's. Just in case it was Rafa's last shot there at on center court in Paris. But I doubt we'll see him again at the French Open. However, I think we will continue to see him throughout the year as he comes to terms with that decision. I think it's really difficult for a player who still has quite a lot left in the tank, but just physically cannot. Like, mentally, I think Rafa would like to continue to play for quite some time. Physically, unfortunately, his body's just not agreeing with him. We did see him I got to see him up close and personal in Madrid just a couple weeks ago. You know, he was able to win some pretty gruesome matches. And that's saying something for somebody that's really struggled with his physicality recently. So I think it's tough to call. I think right now everybody's hopeful you can still see Rafa, but there's a good chance that this is his last season. He's talked about that before. So I would dare to say that we won't see him again at the French Open, but I do think we continue to see him throughout the year.
Yeah, it was cool to see him one more time. Alcaraz was in the stands, Djokovic. It's just cool when, like, your peers can appreciate that they're watching greatness and get ready to see him one more time. Danny, we got a full slate of matches tomorrow, men's and women's side. Anything that jumps out at you, anything that you've already bet for tomorrow morning?
The first one that I find to be mighty enticing is Francis Tiafoe as an underdog against Denis Shapovalov. And that's due in large part because Francis Tiafoe just really has not been playing well on the clay so far this season at all. Whereas last year, he won Houston early on before they went to the European clay court swing. And Shapovalov has had just mixed results. Shapo's been playing a little bit better recently, coming back from injury. He's still working his way back into form, which is why he's the favorite in this one. He also leads the head-to-head against Francis Tiafoe. But there's something about rising to the occasion in bigger moments. There's also something to be said about Tiafoe just technically having more matches under his belt, a higher ranking coming into this tournament. Now, Shapo's definitely going to use his first match as like a little booster. I just think that you can get Tiafoe at plus money is enticing. I think maybe you watch that one with the live betting and see how Tiafoe starts. If he starts slow, he's probably going to get out of there pretty quick. I don't imagine him coming back from behind. But if he starts strong, it's a good bet and you can stick with it. So I do like him at plus money.
All right, very good. On the women's side, Danny, Iga is a massive favorite. She's like minus 150 to win the French Open. People are getting creative with the way that they're betting her, you know, maybe betting her to not drop a set the entire tournament, maybe betting an exacta with her and Sabalenka or her and Coco in the final. Have you found any creative ways to bet women's futures with Iga, or is there maybe somebody that you think could pose a threat and defeat her?
You know, it's unbelievable how big of a runaway favorite she is in this one, but she has been playing so well, and her on the surface is crazy. She's won it three times here. There's a reason she's a favorite. Now, I just was in Madrid and Rome covering those tournaments, and the final of both of those were Iga Świątek and Aryna Sabalenka, and the fact that you can get Sabalenka at plus 500 to potentially meet in the final again against the world number one and maybe third time's the charm, it's not like Sabalenka hasn't beaten Iga in a final before. She did it 2 years ago in the Madrid final, and she's talked about how she feels like she's starting to close the gap on Iga Świątek. Not so, like, there's the top three players when it comes to Iga Świątek, Sabalenka, and Elena Rybakina. We'll take Coco Gauff out of the mix here just for a moment. One is stronger on each. You've got Rybakina stronger on the grass, Aryna Sabalenka stronger on hard courts, and Iga Świątek stronger on the clay. However, that gap seems to be closing quite a bit. So the fact that you can get Aryna Sabalenka, the last time I checked it, plus 500 when she's made the last two finals against Iga Świątek, I mean, you gotta sprinkle a little bit in there, because maybe someone upsets Świątek before she even gets to the final. I highly doubt that's going to happen, but I just find the value in the world number two because she also has been putting up some strong results recently.
I totally think that's fair. And if they meet up in the finals, you know that Sabalenka is not going to be plus 500 in that match. So definitely a good point there. What about on the men's side, Danny? I obviously, you know tennis a lot better than I do, but we come into some of these majors and it really feels like only one to two guys can win it. And this year, you have four players on the men's side whose odds are plus 450 or shorter. Alcaraz, Sinner, Djokovic, and Zverev. So there could be some real parity on the men's side. And I've heard people that like Zverev. I heard people that like Sinner. I mean, you could make a case for any one of these guys. So who do you like on the men's side this year to win the French Open?
This one is what's so exciting, because you're absolutely right. Coming into this tournament, Carlos Alcaraz didn't play in Rome. He was dealing with a forearm injury. Yannick Sinner pulled out of Madrid and then ended up not playing in Rome, his home tournament, with his hip injury. Then you have Novak Djokovic that's looked quite head-scratching as of recently. He missed quite a bit of tournaments already. He also has lost some matches that are confusing losses for him. So he hasn't looked his strongest. So now you go back down that list and you hit Sasha Zverev, who just beat Rafael Nadal. And while this isn't the same Rafael Nadal that we've seen in the past, it's still a tough emotional matchup for him. And Sasha Zverev just won Rome. He's been playing really strong. He obviously, the last time we saw him play Rafa in 2022, before that injury, he was playing the best tennis of his life. To be honest with you, I think he's playing even better tennis now, which is a scary thought. And so I do like his draw. I like where he stacks up there. I think that he's probably the best value for me. if I had to pick either Djokovic or Alcaraz and you were trying to decide between the two, I would lean towards Alcaraz. I think although he came in with a little bit of question marks on how hard he can hit with that forehand injury, I do think that he seems to be a bit more ready than Novak Djokovic does, which is just mind-blowing to say. But my favorite pick on the board has to be Zverev. I just think he's just looked so strong in his last few tournaments, specifically in Rome, absolutely dominated the competition there. And he is playing with confidence. He's in an he's somewhere where he's seen a lot of confidence before, and he's someone that's never won a major. Like, he's looking for his first one ever. The other three, Sinner, Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, they've all done it. Zverev hasn't. And he sees this as an opportunity, like, oh my goodness, I see how this is shaping out. I see the state of the ATP right now. I think he takes advantage of it, and that works to his benefit.
Totally fair. Can't wait to see how it all shapes out. She's Dani Kluppinger. You can check her out on X at Dani Klupp. Also, live on the Line Tennis Channel and Bally Sports as well. Dani, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the tennis, and we'll talk again in a couple weeks for Wimbledon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Great stuff from Dani. Moving on now as we talk some golf for the RBC Canadian Open at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. Now, this is the first time since 2019. That the RBC Canadian Open is going to be at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. They usually like rotating the courses all around Canada. Last time they played here, Rory McIlroy won. It's a par 70, and the course plays 7,084 yards. A lot of people are going to go back and look at 2019 and see that Rory shot 22 under par, and they're going to just think that this course is a birdie fest. Well, that's not necessarily true. Only 10 of the golfers that week were under par, were double-digit under par. That was just one of those weeks where Rory was just out of his mind. On that Sunday, he shot a 61. He was on 59 watch. So that was just one of those rounds where it was honestly one of the best tournaments that Rory has ever played in his career. The median score shot that week was 2 over par. So this is a tough golf course. Rory just made it look very, very easy. So if you see 22 under par was the winning score and your thought process is that this is going to be a birdie fest this week, probably not going to be the case. The key stat that I want you to remember this week when you're betting the RBC Canadian Open is that putting is going to be key. The guys this time in 2019 who finished in the top 10, 7 of them finished in top 7 strokes game putting. So you got to putt well if you want to perform well here. And also, even though Rory is a bomber, even though he drives the ball a mile, usually the plotters are the guys that play well at this course. So you want guys that maybe are shorter hitters, guys that are extremely accurate, excellent iron players, good on approach, and also can putt very well. You look at guys like Webb Simpson, Shane Lowry, Matt Kuchar, Brant Snedeker, Henrik Stenson, some of these older guys, these were the guys that finished in the top 10 with Rory when we played here back in 2019. So certainly Rory showed that you can bomb your way around this course, but Rory also putted the ball extremely well that week. And it's going to be very important this week to be good from 150 yards and in. You're going to have a lot of short irons, a lot of wedges in to some of these greens. So with all that being said, some guys that I'm looking at this week, Shane Lowry is going to be my first bet at 22-1. Guys right now that are top 10 on the PGA Tour in approach from 150 yards or in, that would be Shane Lowry. He's an excellent putter. He's also one of the best players on tour strokes gained approach with his irons. So I think it matches up really well for Shane Lowry to have a big week. I also like Aaron Rye at 40-1. Guys, this week, you just want to have good overall games, good iron players. Aaron Rye is one of the best overall iron players on the PGA Tour. Think you're getting a very good price with him at 40-1. Alex Noren at 25-1 is another guy that I would look at. Noren's playing some of the best golf of his career. Excellent short game player, excellent putter, and he's been very good with his irons as of late. And then two other golfers that I am eyeing this week are going to be Sahith Theegala and Taylor Pendrith. Sahith Theegala is kind of like a little Jordan Spieth, essentially, right? He's an excellent putter, a little wayward off the tee, but good with his irons, and that short game is excellent for Theegala, so he should contend here. And Taylor Pendrith is another guy, right? Rory won here in 2019, bombing the ball off the tee and putting very well. Well, Taylor Pendrith is top 15 putting and one of the leaders in driving distance. So maybe Pendrith has that Rory McIlroy model of success to win here, just bombs it off the tee and putts well and win. He's at 50-1, so he's a guy that I would look at. And also, lay the juice, minus 120, and bet Rory to finish in the top five this week. No matter where they play in Canada, Rory always plays well. He's won this event two of the last 3 years, and then I mentioned that he won in 2019 at this course. He's always in contention at the RBC Canadian Open. There's a reason he's plus 400, and the next closest guy is Tommy Fleetwood at 16-1. Always plays well here. I don't see that changing anytime soon. All right, let's keep it rolling now as we talk some big league pitch. Look at today's MLB slate. Dodgers and the Mets play a doubleheader today. First game, 4:10 p.m. Eastern time. Tyler Glasnow against Tyler McGill. Dodgers are struggling a little bit. They've lost five in a row, and the Mets have been getting off to hot starts in some of these games. So I'll take the Mets first five plus a half at plus 105 with McGill against Glasnow today. Red Sox and Orioles, Grayson Rodriguez going up against Brian Bello today. O's minus 165. The Sox are plus 140 with a total of eight. I'll take the O's on the run line today, minus 1.5 at plus 120. Orioles have usually been very good against the Red Sox these last two or three years. Saw that yesterday when they won 11-3. I'll take Baltimore on the run line today. Pirates and Tigers, good pitching matchup in Detroit. Tarik Skubal, who's the favorite right now to win the AL Cy Young, going up against Jared Jones. I'll take the first five under 3.5 in Pirates and Tigers. Kyle Gibson and the Cardinals facing Andrew Abbott and the Reds today. Cincinnati minus 130. Cardinals are plus 110. Both of these teams playing really good baseball. Reds have won four in a row. Cardinals have won five of their last six. And both teams' pitching staffs have been the reason why they're playing so well. I'll take the under 9.5. Athletics and Rays today. Zach Littell on the mound for Tampa against Mitch Spence for Oakland. I'm going to pass on that game. Then game two of Dodgers and Mets starts up about 7:10 p.m. Eastern time. Gavin Stone against Jose Quintana. We're getting the Dodgers at minus 135. I will take that tonight against the Mets. Give me the Nationals on the run line, plus 1.5 at plus 150. Jake Irvin against Max Fried. Nats won yesterday 8-4 against the Braves. They're not afraid of Atlanta. And right now, you got to wonder where Atlanta is at psychologically, right? You just lost to Acuña. Not saying your World Series chances are over by any means. They lost to Acuña a couple years ago and still won the World Series. But I still think they're getting all over the initial shock of losing him for the year. And the Nats aren't afraid of anybody. They tend to play to the level of their competition. I'll take them on the run line today. Cubs and Brewers, Freddy Peralta going up against Ben Brown. Cubs are on a five-game losing streak, and they're facing one of the best pitchers in the National League. I'll take Milwaukee on the money line today. Give me Kansas City on the money line, minus 125 against the Twins. Royals have been playing great baseball. They were down 6-1 heading into the ninth inning yesterday and almost came back to win that game. Now they got their ace on the mound in Cole Reagans. I'll take KC minus 125. Give me the White Sox team total under 2.5 runs today against Kevin Gausman and the Blue Jays. I'm scared away from the full game under at 7.5 because Clevinger is playing and I'm scared of both of these bullpens. I think Gausman goes deep in the game. I think the White Sox struggle to score. D-backs and the Rangers, rematch of last year's World Series, and the Rangers are home dogs to Arizona. I'll take Texas plus 100 on the money line. Stinkiest line of the slate in MLB today is going to be the Guardians and the Rockies. Cleveland is only minus 145 on the road in Coors Field today with Tristan McKenzie pitching. Cleveland has won 9 of their last 10 games, yet they're only minus 145 to Colorado today. I'm staying away. Give me the Yankees on the run line, minus 1.5 with Nasty Nestor going up against the Angels today. Luis Castillo and the Mariners going up against Hunter Brown and the Astros. Mariners have not been winning too many games when Castillo has been on the mound. I'll take the Astros plus money today. Marlins and Padres is going to be a pass for me out in San Diego. And then the Phillies, big favorites, minus 225 with Zach Wheeler on the mound. I'll take the Giants on the run line, plus 1.5 to keep it close against the Phillies. Let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Kate Constable joining us here on a Tuesday, talking some NBA with Kate. Kate, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hey, PJ, no five-star plays in NBA today, so we're going to go over to MLB, Twins and Royals. Twins on the money line. You can get them for plus money. That is the five-star play today. Twins are going up against Cole Reagans and the Royals. Reagans coming off of a career-high 12-strikeout performance, but 33% of the sharp money is on the Twins tonight. So, again, you get Twins for plus money on the money line. That's our five-star play.
All right, very good. Kate, what about you? What are some of your best bets for tonight that you like?
I don't know if I'm going to call it a best bet, but it's a bet. And that is the Minnesota Timberwolves on the money line. I just, never has it happened in NBA history where we've had both the Eastern and Western Conference finals end in a sweep. I find it hard to believe that that's going to be the case tonight. Minnesota has led at the end of, with 5 minutes to go in all three games. So they've been the better team for the majority of the game. They just have had a ton of issues closing games out, and that's the same story for the Pacers, hence why the Celtics were able to sweep that series. I think Minnesota turns it around tonight. They do enough to at least get the win. They're not going to go on to win this series. Teams up 3-0 in the series, 155-0. Not going to happen for Minnesota, but I do think that they extend the series. They head back to Minneapolis for Game 5 with a win tonight.
Kate, I sure hope so, just for our standpoint, so we have something to talk about. We're not previewing the NBA Finals for the next 8 days, you know, so hopefully the Wolves can get the job done. Like you said, it's never happened before where a team's come back from 0-3, so a lot of people are starting to play the hypothetical Dallas-Boston matchup. If that is the matchup that we get in the NBA Finals, Kate, your early thoughts on maybe a side that you would take in the series, Dallas or Boston?
Yeah, I certainly think that there's value on Dallas in that series because, like I mentioned, the Pacers were outmatched in terms of talent, but Indiana just struggled to close things out, and Boston was able to take advantage of that. Dallas has won in this series against Minnesota because the Wolves have struggled to close things out. Well, that's not going to be the same case in the finals. Dallas is not going to hand the Mavs any games at the end of it. With Kyrie and Luka, those two know what they're doing in these, you know, high-pressure moments, that it's going to be harder for the Celtics to get some of those, I'm not going to say easy wins, but some of the wins that they endured over the Pacers, those types of things are not going to happen against this Mavs team. So I would look at the Mavs with the value there. I would also look at this going over 5.5 games. I think that's already pretty heavily juiced to the over, but this series, or the finals, if it is Mavs and Boston, to go plenty of games, 6 or 7 is kind of what I think is going to happen.
We'd certainly have a lot of firepower as well. We'd have some great storylines. Kyrie going up against Boston. Porzingis, if he comes back, going up against Dallas. There'd be a lot of interesting options potentially for finals MVP. So early thoughts on that. Maybe a guy you're keeping an eye on to win the award.
It's kind of a two-man race to me, and that's not, like, super fun, but the reality of it is it's likely going to be Tatum if Boston wins and Luka if the Mavs win. The Mavs are Luka's team. Kyrie has been playing great in this series against Minnesota, but who has the game winner in Game 2? That's Luka. You know, he's averaging more. This is Luka's team. If the Mavs win the finals, Luka is going to win, which is why if you do like the Mavs actually to win that series, I would go ahead and just take Luka to win MVP, because right now Mavs to win the finals is plus 195 and Luka to win MVP is plus 230. So you're getting a lot more value on taking Luka MVP. Boston's side, Tatum, I mean, he's the best player on that team. Whether or not he has played the best consistently, that's kind of the question mark there. But with Brown just earning Eastern Conference MVP, if there's at all, like, you know, if it's 50-50 on whether the finals MVP should be Brown or Tatum, being Brown just won the award, I think it goes to Jason Tatum. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I don't see anyone really presenting a whole lot of value much more down the board than those two.
I totally agree. I think both are a great call, especially the Tatum angle. The fact they gave him to Brown yesterday for Eastern Conference, you would think that increases Tatum's chances if Boston does win the finals. She is Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. Kate, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again later in the week.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. Time to wrap up the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. We got a couple minutes left. B-Mills, how about the T-Wolves to win the first quarter at even money, PJ? I feel like they're going to come out firing. I think that's a good handicap, certainly, B-Mills. I don't think Minnesota's going to lay down. It's just not in their DNA. Anthony Edwards is the leader of those guys. That's just not how they're built. That's not how they're wired. With all that being said, though, I could also see Dallas just coming out and kind of setting the tone. Luke and Kyrie have both been really good in the first quarter of this series. So at even money, I could see why you would like it. Certainly, Minnesota knows, got to get off to a hot start in an elimination game. I'm going to stay away though, personally, in that one. For going streaking, I'm going to take Yordan Alvarez today to record a base hit against Luis Castillo. Yordan 4-for-9 in his career against Castillo, went 0-for-3 in his last game. So let's hope that Alvarez is due to get us a base hit today, get that to 4 in a row. My prop lock is going to be Rudy Gobert under 11.5 points tonight versus the Mavs. Again, Minnesota, they went with that small ball lineup there in game 3 against Dallas. Karl-Anthony Towns has really been struggling. Gobert has been a non-factor, especially defensively in this series. I think we see more Kyle Anderson, more Naz Reid, more small ball lineups. I'll go under points for Rudy. Dog of the day is going to be Houston, plus 115 against the Mariners. Hunter Brown against Luis Castillo. Houston lost yesterday. I think they bounced back today. Again, they keep pricing the Mariners with Luis Castillo like these winning every start or just about close to it, and that just hasn't been the case. I'll take Houston tonight on the money line. Shawnee Sharp, however, is agreeing with B. Mills. He likes Minnesota on the first quarter money line, so he's riding with you today. Get off to a hot start. My best bet is going to be the Panthers, -1.5, +150 against the Rangers. I like Florida on the puck line tonight. I think they bounce back. They're the better team. Rangers, shout out to them for winning the last two games in overtime. But Florida, huge game tonight, right? Got to make it 2-2. Heading back to MSG for a best of three. I'll take Florida puck line plus 150. To recap our best bets for today, Yordan Alvarez is going to be our play in going streaking. Rudy Gobert, our prop lock under 11.5 points. Astros dog of the day plus 115, and the Panthers on the puck line going to be our best bet tonight against the Rangers. Thanks again to Danny Kluppinger and Kate Constable. Make sure you go check out the podcast. A lot of great stuff today, especially from Danny on the French Open. Go check out Send It In Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Good luck to you guys on all your bets tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.